I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. This is day 20 in Puerto Rico's struggle to recover from Hurricane Maria. 20 days of no power throughout most of the island. 20 days of not enough food or water or even cell phone service for millions of American citizens. And for many Puerto Ricans living here on the U.S. mainland, 20 days of intense anxiety as they struggle to find out if family members on the island are alive and well. Our Across Women's Lives team traveled to Puerto Rico to report on relief efforts. But as we're about to hear, they ended up on a much more personal mission.
Hi, I'm Andrea Crossan, and I'm the series producer.
And I'm Jasmine Garst. I am the reporter for the series.
Hurricane Maria ripped through Puerto Rico, making landfall as a Category 4 hurricane with winds of up to 155 miles per hour.
These are the worst winds we've seen. There are pieces of buildings in the area that are flying off through the air like little missiles.
Hurricane Maria landed on Puerto Rico as the strongest storm to hit the U.S. territory in about 90 years.
So right after Hurricane Maria hit, I saw that my friend Jen, who's Puerto Rican and she lives here in Boston, was posting on social media that she was really freaked out about her family on the island. She wrote this post on Facebook just after the hurricane hit. She says, "My stomach hurts. I'm so anxious right now. Not knowing how my family is doing is killing me." So I know that Jen has a big extended family on the island, but she messaged me that she was really worried about her grandma, Nereida Francescini Colon. Her grandma's 75 years old and has health issues.
You know, and this was actually something very widespread. I have ties to the island, and my own social media read like this long missing persons list of Puerto Rican friends searching for loved ones.
Yeah, and Jen's hometown, where her grandma lives, is in the southern part of the island, which is normally, it's only a two-hour drive from San Juan. It's a town called Guayanilla. Since the hurricane hit, there's been no cell reception there. So Jen has no way of knowing what's going on.
Andy, you went to spend some time with Jen in Boston before we headed out to Puerto Rico.
Yeah, when I knew that we were going, I wanted to see if there's anything I could do to help out. Jen shows me family photos, pictures of her as a little girl, her with her grandma, and the town where her grandma lives.
And that's you with your...
Yeah, that's my grandmother, and that's my uncle, Hari. I know it was hit very badly up there.
There are around 5 million Puerto Ricans living on the U.S. mainland. And right after the hurricane hit, flights were nearly impossible to get. They were expensive, and airlines weren't running full schedules. So if you can't communicate and you can't get there, what can you do besides worry?
We still haven't, like, communicated with our family in Puerto Rico, even through this chaos. The only way we've been communicating is from people posting on Facebook. But we still haven't heard our family's voices.
I asked Jen to give me her grandma's address and anything that might help us find her. And Jen gave me this piece of advice. She said, if you get lost, you can go to the town's bakery. She said that everyone knows everyone and that they hang out there.
It is still open, and that's where my mom's sister was actually seen. So it was kind of like, oh, yay, she's alive. Because she was seen at this one particular bakery in Guayanilla, because it's just such a small town. Hopefully, you know, we just want to show them that we are here for them, and hopefully we can just start talking to them again.
So the next morning, we were on one of the few flights going to Puerto Rico.
Our flight time today will be 2 hours 15 minutes at an altitude of 37,000 feet.
We brought with us gallons of water, water filters, mosquito repellent, and we brought a letter from Jen's family for me to deliver to her grandma.
You know, when you start your descent in the airplane into Puerto Rico, you see that the earth has just been shaved clean by the hurricane. It used to be so lush and so green, and now it just looks like a pile of firewood. Like, it's just bare trees. And when we touched down in San Juan over the intercom, our flight attendant, she just broke down into tears.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenido a mi preciosa isla del encanto, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Welcome to my beautiful Isla del Encanto, island of charm.
Nos vamos a levantar más fuerte.
We will rise again, she promised, stronger than before.
For signal.
A friend, Gabriel, picks us up at the airport. He has a large car, which is really important right now to get around the island.
The roads are just lined with fallen trees, streetlights snapped in half, their bulbs crashed into the sidewalk, and houses with rooftops hanging on the side. Not a single traffic light is working in the city, or frankly, anywhere on the island. And it just created this nightmarish, monster traffic jam.
What do you do?
I can't.
What's he gonna go, like, head on into this other car?
We saw blankets hanging from overpasses with writing asking for water. It was eerie, and it took us a while to get to the house where we were staying. Since the hurricane blew the power out, at night, Puerto Rico gets pitch black just as soon as the sun goes down. It's apocalyptic. In the city of San Juan, you'll see a 12-story building completely dark, and you wonder how anyone can still be climbing up and down those stairs in this heat to get water.
And like most houses in Puerto Rico, the place where we're staying has no water and no electricity.
So we sat outside in the backyard with flashlights and a paper map, remember those? To start planning our drive down to the town of Guayanilla to find Jen's grandmother, Nereida, and deliver the letter.
We basically have to get down from the very northern part of the island down to the most southern.
Normally, it should take about 2 hours to drive there, but there have been major mudslides since the hurricane hit, and roads are still blocked by fallen trees. And the most important thing for us was just trying to figure out a way to get to Guayanilla safely.
I think we just try and get out of the city as early as possible, hit the road, and, you know, we'll try and head south. I think that we pack stuff in the car for overnight. We pack stuff in the car for getting stranded. I mean, we just need to make sure we've got enough water. We have food. We have, you know, all of the flashlights and stuff that we have with us anyway.
So, bottom line, we're going to leave really early in the morning. We're going to try and get back to San Juan before dark. But we're going to assume that we might have to spend the night in Ponce.
Yeah.
Before we went to bed, a neighbor and his family came over to say hello to us.
This was not an ordinary storm, he told us. He was ruthless. And that's the other thing. People on the island talk about this hurricane like it's a living, breathing being. He ripped everything apart, or she came in from the north.
And our neighbor also told us that he'd heard of looting and robberies in some parts of town.
And then he said to us, "You can sleep easy tonight. I'm just next door, and I'm heavily armed."
Tomorrow, reporter Jasmine Garz and producer Andrea Crossan cross the island to the town of Guayanilla to find Grandma Nereida. One of the first obstacles in their way? A street lamp blown in the middle of the road. That's tomorrow, right here on The World.